हरिः ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यान्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So now we've had Arjuna fight with Drona, Karna again, and also with Bhishma, and all of them were, you know, somehow or another, then, you know, I say turned from the battle. So now we then continue. After that, most of the Kuru army had been overpowered and, if not slain, had fled. Only a few of their heroes still stood on the battlefield. Duryodhana, burning with anger and humiliation, brought his chariot before Arjuna. With tremendous power, he hurled a golden dart that struck Arjuna on the forehead. Blood gushed from his head, and the son of Kunti looked like a mountain giving forth a stream of red lava. Not caring for his injury, Arjuna drew back his bow and struck Duryodhana with arrows that stung like poisonous snakes. The two cousins fought furiously, using all their martial skill. Duryodhana's brother Bhikarna came to support him on an elephant. He drove the beast towards Arjuna's chariot, intending to crush him underfoot. But Arjuna bent the Gandiva into a full circle and fired an iron arrow that hit the elephant on the forehead. The arrow penetrated the elephant's head up to the feathers, and the beast fell screaming to the ground. Bhikarna leapt clear and, terrified, sprinted a full 800 paces to his brother's Vibhingshati's chariot. Oh, his brother Vibhingshati's chariot. So 800 paces. That means, you know, when you're running, so that means, you know, basically, yeah, like 3 feet a step. So it means quite a long ways. He ran back. Arjuna released a similar arrow that struck Duryodhana full on the chest. The Kaurava prince fell to his knees and vomited blood. His shining armor bent and pierced. Seeing himself standing alone against Arjuna, Duryodhana ordered his charioteer to retreat. Arjuna laughed and called after him, "Why do you flee, O hero? How are you renouncing your fame and glory? Why do your trumpets not blow in the same way they did when you first left Hastinapur? Know me to be Yudhishthira's obedient servant and Kunti's third son. Remembering the conduct of kings, turn back and show me your face, O mighty armed one." Without looking back, Duryodhana and his brothers continued to flee. They completely abandoned their attempts to steal the Matsya's wealth. Remembering his promise to the Matsya ladies, Arjuna went around the battlefield and took the costly robes from the fallen Kuru warriors. As they made their way back to the city, Arjuna said, "You are the only person who is aware of my true identity. It may be wise to keep this information secret for a little while longer. You should tell your father that it was you who routed the Kurus." Arjuna wanted to wait for Yudhishthira to decide the exact moment for them to reveal their identities. You know, why would he reveal when, you know, they're working with Yudhishthira? He should decide when is the best time. Understanding this, Bhumijaya replied, "I could not have achieved anything like what you achieved today, Arjuna. But I will not disclose your identity until you give me your permission." Arjuna had the prince take the chariot back to the cremation ground. When they arrived, Arjuna folded his palms towards Hanuman on his banner. The monkey flew up into the sky and vanished. Right, so, because the flag came down on its own, and he caught it and then put it up. So he offered his respects, and then Hanuman went again back up. And Arjuna hoisted the prince's lion banner again. He replaced his weapons in the bundle high in the Sami tree. Then, taking his place as the chariot driver, they headed back towards the city. Chapter 40, Out of Exile. Towards noon on the day after his victory, King Bhairat re-entered his city. Praised by bards, he shone amid the four Pandavas. So they don't necessarily even know what happened on the other side, you know? Or they've been defeated, and so then, okay, his son defeated there, we defeated here, and so then, you know, as the Matsyas, we did well. Praised by bards, he shone amid the four Pandavas, whose identities he still did not know, right? So they would take that back seat, you know, kind of mood, and then he will be there, and so with them, he'll look, you know, very, very excellent. When he reached his palace and was seated upon his throne, he inquired after the whereabouts of his eldest son. So that means he didn't know. Some of the palace ladies told him what had happened. Out of excessive bravery, the prince has gone out to fight the best of the Kurus, with Brihannala as his charioteer and no other support. He rode out promising to defeat the vast Kuru army and bring back the cows. The king looked at the ladies in disbelief. What on earth had his son been thinking? Fearing the worst, he sighed in sorrow and said, "How will my son fare against the likes of Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and Duryodhana? And when the Kurus hear of the Trigarta's defeat, they will likely attack the city," right? Because they've just taken the cows. As far as you know, they've taken the cows. And then after that, then you have to then somehow or another try to get your cows back, you know, and then you start the process, you know, so that's either you surrender to us or we'll fight, right? But they most likely didn't know that the Trigartas were defeated. Remember, Duryodhana said the Trigarta king will come and help us. So what do we have to fear? So his idea is they'll take the cows and go, and this Arjuna will fight here, but, you know, they'll take the city. The king told his ministers to have the army prepare to go out again. "We must quickly rescue Booming Jaya and hold the Kurus off from attacking our city. With such a useless person as his charioteer, I do not think my son will be alive." Right? Because the charioteer, how they drive the chariot, that makes a lot of difference on the battle. That they're in the proper places, that someone's firing in a certain way, then you can move the chariot so that those arrows won't be so effective. You know, so there's a lot of aspects that are there. Yudhishthira smiled as he took his place near the king. "If Brihannala is his charioteer, you need not fear. The Kurus will not be able to defeat him. Indeed, even the celestial hosts would not be able to overpower him with Brihannala on his chariot." The king looked at Yudhishthira quizzically. This was no time for joking, right? Because he's there, and so they'll laugh and joke and discuss dharma, and they'll play chess and gamble, all these different things. But he's just thinking, no, this is a serious thing. It's not a time to joke. He wrung his hands and thought only of his son. Surely Booming Jaya was already dead. It was reckless of him to have ventured out, especially with a eunuch as his only support. As Virat gave orders for his forces to assemble, a messenger entered the court with news that the Kurus had retreated. "The cows have been rescued and your son as well, along with his charioteer. They will soon be arriving in the city." "This news is not at all wonderful," Yudhishthira said. "Victory is certain for anyone who has Brihannala with him." The king ignored Yudhishthira's remark and said joyfully, "Decorate the highways with flags and festoons. Worship all the gods with profuse gifts of flowers and costly incenses. My other sons and my ministers should go out to greet the prince, along with musicians and beautiful dancers. Bring him here in style and have a messenger riding an elephant go around the city, ringing a bell to announce our victory." Soon a large procession of handsomely dressed and beautiful maidens, musicians playing drums, trumpets, cymbals, and conches, Brahmins chanting auspicious hymns, and bards composing songs in praise of the prince, made his way out of the temple. So these bards, they could on the spot make up, verses about the person. So they were so expert in the grammar and the vocabulary and how poetics work and music, that they could put that all just immediately, they could do things. So that was the specialty of the bards. Overjoyed, the king turned to Yudhishthira and said, "Come, Kanka, let us play dice while we wait for my son. I will happily stake heaps of gems, gold, and numerous well-adorned women. My pleasure knows no limits today." "O king, one should never gamble when he's experiencing so much joy," Yudhishthira replied with a smile. "Gambling is attended by many evils. The great king Yudhishthira lost his entire kingdom, all his wealth, and his godlike brothers in a single game, game of dice. Therefore, I do not like to gamble, but I will play if you wish." The king laughed and sat down at his table, because if he's in such a good mood, he may not pay attention also, and he'll lose more also. The king laughed and sat down at his dicing table with Yudhishthira. As they played, he said, "What do you think of this news then, Kanka? My son has single-handedly defeated the invincible Kurus." Yudhishthira again said, "There was no surprise since the prince had Brihannala with him." The king was beginning to feel annoyed, right? Because he said it a couple of times, then he thinks, okay, he's just making it a joke, but now he's actually serious. why do you praise a eunuch as superior to my son? Right? Because he's saying, because Brihannala's with him, he'll be victorious. He's not saying he's a great fighter, and then with the support of Brihannala, then it's a, you know, it's a good match. He's saying, no, anybody who has Brihannala with him will always be victorious. O Brahman, you insult me by such words. Why should my son not have defeated the Kurus? He is a fearless and powerful fighter. Yudhishthira threw the sapphire dice across the gambling board. When Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Duryodhana, and the other Kurus assemble for battle, I do not see any warrior who could face them except Brihannala. Nor have been seen, nor will they ever be seen, who can equal his strength of arms. He always delights in a mighty encounter. Right, so he's pointing out when all these come up, there's only Brihannala can defeat like that. Because it's also known here as if need be, then they can. Because it's already, there's no problem in them finding out because the time's up. Right? And so then if he says, you know, who is this Brihannala, you know, like that, he can explain. Or, you know, they can find some way to bring it about. The king stood up suddenly, clutching the dice in fury. You obviously do not know right from wrong. I should certainly punish you for this impropriety. Virat hurled the dice at Yudhishthira and struck him in the face. Blood flowed from his nose, and Yudhishthira cupped his hands to catch it. He looked across at Draupadi, who sat in the court. She quickly fetched a jug of water. Yudhishthira held a wet cloth to his face to stem the flow of blood. At that moment, a second messenger came before the king and announced that his son had arrived at the palace gates. The king, forgetting his anger, told the messenger to bring the prince in at once. The messenger turned to go, and as he was leaving, Yudhishthira whispered to him, "Have the prince come alone. Tell Brihannala not to enter the court." Yudhishthira knew that Arjuna had taken a vow that if anyone caused his blood to flow other than in battle, he would kill that person. If Arjuna saw his brother now, Virat would be slain. Like that. So he's saying, you know, that's why I was also covering that mixture didn't touch the floor. Because the point is, this spills his, you know, blood touches the ground, then, you know, that's it. So he's catching it. Within minutes, Booming Jai entered the court, adorned with garlands and sandalwood paste. He bowed at his father's feet and folded his hands towards our Yudhishthira, because he knows who he is then. Seeing him covered with blood, he asked his father, "Who has done this to Kanka? O king, who has committed such a crime?" The king looked angrily at Yudhishthira. "This wily Brahmana deserves even more. While praising your achievements, he glorified Brihannala as if he were your superior." Booming Jai was shocked. Not because Booming Jai knows. "You have committed a great sin. Pacify him at once, so that the deadly venom of a Brahmin's curse does not consume you." Right? Because he's, you know, one, he knows what the reality is, but also two, is you know, as Kshatriyas, then they're not supposed to insult Brahmins. You know, so even if he spoke of something like this, he's supposed to be very careful. Yes, and so then, you know, he's using that angle, because he's trying not to, I mean, the whole point is he's trying to not reveal, you know, the pandit's position. You know, because he brought around, he's a Brahmin, you can't insult a Brahmin, even if he says something. If he's another Kshatriya, that's another thing. But as a Brahmin or a servant, you know, but a Brahmin, you can't do that. The king apologized to Yudhishthira, who nodded his forgiveness. So because of that, now it will be left. Virat then said to his son, "O descendant of Kekaya, in you I truly have a son. There can be none equal to you. Alone you overcame the Kuru host and took back our cows, just as a tiger snatches his prey." The prince shook his head. "I did not rescue the cows, father, nor did I defeat the Kurus. The son of a celestial did everything. Seeing me fleeing in fear, that mighty one capable of wielding the thunderbolt stopped me and got upon my chariot. He alone defeated the Kuru army headed by Bhishma, Drona, Duryodhana, Kripa, Karna, and Ashwatthama." So he said the truth, but also not said that, you know, but said it in a hidden way that he just thinks he went out there, he got scared, but then somehow or another, you know, the son of a deity came down and he defeated them, you know, because, you know, it's not uncommon that you would have Gandharvas and others come around and fight with them and all that. So then, you know, it would be a story that, okay, but it's amazing. But still, why would he come and all that? Still, it's a special thing. "Indeed, I could hardly look at those warriors that they released their arrows. The celestial root routed them one by one. He overpowered that army of lions and sent them reeling back to Hastinapur." The king was astonished. He asked his son where that youth had gone. But Bhumijai said he could not tell. Yudhishthira remained silent, tending the wound on his face, right? Because he can't also, because he has to fix the wound on his face. They can't bring in Priyanala at this state also. Yudhishthira, okay. He glanced at Draupadi, who stood smiling, right? The king would soon discover the truth. So, in other words, what he said, now Yudhishthira and Draupadi know that Arjuna did it all. So, in that way, he didn't reveal who they were, but at the same time, he didn't claim that, yes, I did everything. Yeah, you know, how would he say? Because they'd say, how did you do it? He can't. It was late in the evening when Virat dismissed the royal court. He went away with his son, listening in astonishment as the prince described the battle of the crew. So he can describe the whole battle, and they'll be amazed, the Kshatriyas, because the fighting prowess, the celestial weapons, the strategies used, all these different things will be very amazing and very inspiring. But, you know, it's that he was there and watched. Right? So he said he came on his chariot, so that means that he drove the chariots, not a problem. The following day at dawn, Yudhishthira, surrounded by his brothers, entered the royal court before the king arrived, right? Because there's a time when the king came. So they got up early and came that. They were dressed in white clothes and adored the gold ornaments. Like five angry lions, they strode up to the royal dais and took their seats on thrones reserved for kings. Right? So there's where the king sits. Then there's going to be other thrones for other kings, and there's ministers, and then, you know, all like that. So there's places that everybody has to sit. So there's some place for where all the kings come, only they could sit there. Soon after their arrival, the king, accompanied by his ministers, entered the hall. He saw with surprise that Kanka was sitting near his throne with the four Pandavas next to him. Still not realizing their identities, he stormed over to Yudhishthira. What are you doing? You are a dice player and a courtier. Why are you sitting on a royal seat, adorned with ornaments and surrounded by my cook, my horse, and my cow keepers? It's like, you know, so it's kind of like, here's the courtier here, and he's got these other guys that are all dressed up, and so, you know, it's like because also the courtier, that sometimes they do the gesture kind of aspect and everything like that. Like you see Gopal Bhatt or Tenali Ram, super intelligent, super like this, but they'd always make jokes. So he's thinking, what is this? And so, you know, he's upset. Arjuna replied, "This man, O king, is worthy of sharing a seat with Indra. Ever engaged in performing sacrifice, respectful towards Brahmins, well-read in the Vedas and firm in his vows. He is the embodiment of virtue. Even the celestials, asuras, nagas, gandharvas, yakshas, and other divine beings are not his equal. He is far-sighted, forgiving, powerful, truthful, and self-controlled. Famous all over the world and loved by all, this man is a royal saint like the great Manu himself. O king, this is the foremost of all the Kurus, the pious king Yudhishthira. Does he not deserve a royal throne?" So, when he explains all this, these are not just glorifications like we saw before. Yes, I can do this, that, you know, like Karna says, or like Bhumijaya said the first time, you know, even the ladies were saying, he said he's going to do all this stuff and all that, you know, and like that, and the kings were worried. Even the ladies thought, well, he thought he's going to say it but not do it, right? all these personalities come before him. Like that, they come. It's like Yudhishthira said, let go of the Pandavas, let the Kauras go. The Gandharvas let them go. Otherwise, they can say, no, we ourselves are, you know, we don't care. And he said, no, Yudhishthira said. Because that's the whole thing. Arjuna said, let them go. They didn't care. They fought like that and he defeated them. So he says, okay, why don't we do this? We'll go to Yudhishthira and then discuss. Because their thing is, they've insulted Yudhishthira. We're taking them. They're nonsense. And he said, well, let's go to Yudhishthira and let's see. They went. And whatever Yudhishthira said, they agree. Like that. You see all the Rakshasas, all these others, the Yakshas, then, you know, they were greeted by Kuvera himself. He let them stay in his gardens and that for some time while they were waiting for Arjuna. And all these different things. So the Yakshas, Rakshasas, and Gatodgacha. You know, like that. So he's not just saying this. It's real. They do actually think like this. Virat's eyes opened wide. Staring at the five brothers, one after another replied, "If this is Yudhishthira, then who are these other four? Here is the mighty Bhima and his invincible brother. Where is the mighty Bhima and his invincible brother Arjuna? Where are Nakul and Sahadeva and the illustrious Draupadi? Since their defeat at dice, no one has seen them." Because they've been in the forest, so no one's seen them because they're out in the forest. So only Duryodhana and that would have seen that one time when they went out there to try to flaunt their wealth and then got attacked by the Gandharvas. But otherwise, no one's seen him. And then the year of incognito. Arjuna lifted his hand towards Bhima. This one, your cook, Vallabha, is Bhima. Possessed of dreadful prowess and energy, it was he who slew the lustful Kichika. On the other side of Yudhishthira sits Nakula, the keeper of your horses, and next to him is Sahadev, your chief cowherd. These two warriors are capable of slaying enemy battalions, consisting of thousands of warriors. The lotus-eyed Draupadi has for this last year served in your palace as Sairindri, for whose sake Kichika was killed, was slain. I am Arjuna, Kunti's third son. We have all lived happily in your city, like creatures living in the womb. Right, so they're just saying, we've been so comfortable here and so protected, and so we're very happy. So he's pointing out their glories, who they are, so that the king is knows the position, but at the same time, as we've been living here with you, and we've been very comfortable, not like, you know, we've been here, and, you know, Sairindri had to do all that work, and he had to do so much cooking, and all. No, we've been very happy here, so we're fine. Virat's eyes flooded with tears. The great and virtuous Pandavas had chosen his kingdom to spend their final year of exile. Why had he not recognized them? How now it was obvious, right? Because if you look at it and put it together, it's very obvious. But because they had the boon of Yamaraj, then they were not recognized. Who else could have exhibited such power in battle but these brothers, right? So he went out with them to battle, and they all fought and everything. And so he already knew that they must be great personalities, but at the same time, when he came in, he says, you know, here my cook, my cook, like this, but when they're on the battlefield, as soon as he called for them, then he gave them chariots, they fought like Kshatriyas, they dealt like Kshatriyas, you know, they did everything, they even made the point as, you know, as Kshatriyas, we have to stay on the battlefield, you know, and stay the night here, then come in the morning, like that, and so, you know, all these things, so he says, now it makes sense. But even then, at the time, because he didn't recognize him, when he came in, he says, hey, what's going on? The king and this and my courtier? Why are you all sitting here? I mean, the cook and all these guys? Like that. So he didn't even after the battle, he didn't place, you know? The king folded his hands and bowed low to Yudhishthira. As the king stood up again, Bhumijaya indicated Arjuna. It was he who slew the Kurus like a lion killing deer, right? So now he tells, he is the son of the celestial. It was he who rescued the cows and overpowered the great heroes from Hastinapur. My ears are still deafened from the incredible blast of his conch. Virat felt deeply ashamed of himself for insulting and wounding Yudhishthira. He spoke humbly. The time has come for me to honor your illustrious selves. What should I do? If you like, I shall bestow my daughter Uttara on Arjuna. I am fully indebted to you all. It was Bhima who rescued me from the clutches of Susharma, and Arjuna has saved us from defeat at the hand of the Kurus. O great king, please forgive me if I unwittingly gave you any offense. You are worthy of my worship. Like that. So now we see is that Virat now feeling, you know, ashamed that how he dealt, that they were serving and doing all these things, such great personalities, but at the same time very honored that they had chosen him and his kingdom. So all these emotions are happening. So then how it all unfolds and all their wonderful discussions, then we'll see in the next discussion. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.